the aforementioned Freege joining me now from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. Good afternoon, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this afternoon, bud?
I'm good. It's a busy day.
I thought you were going to say that you were pissy.
I'm trying to resist the obvious joke. I know it's the obvious punchline, and as a radio, audio, podcast, whatever I am host, I'm supposed to go for that, for the easy joke, but I'm really trying to resist the pissy lines today. I was on the morning show this morning.
That's good. Have a high standard. I like that.
Listen, as I like to say about myself, though, like, I rise to new depths and sink to new heights. So don't put it past me if over the next 2 hours, Elliot, I don't go for the cheap gag and do the pissy bit. Before we get going here on some of the things you wrote in 32 Thoughts at Sportsnet.ca, do you have a thought on what we saw last night from Victor Hedman, which I would have to imagine for anyone who watched the game or has seen the highlights or read the story about the Tampa-Los Angeles game last night? That's the best performance by a defenseman all season, period. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, so they were playing with 4D. We should note that. They were playing with 4D. And someone sent me a note and said, right before the game when they took warm-up and it started to be noticed that they were only going to play with four guys on defense, someone said, the Kings are plus 170 on the money line and Tampa Bay's got 4D. And one of my thoughts in my head was, Tampa's going to find a way to win this because they're going to be challenged. They're going to like the challenge of it. But I didn't really think about that too much as I was watching the game. And as you said, Hedman was great. So I was watching the Tampa feed with our buddy, Dave Randorf and Brian Engblom. And then I kept it on because I was writing for the post game with Paul Kennedy and Dave Andrichuk. And, I can't remember the order, but I'm going to go with Hedman first. So he comes up and he's got this big smile on his face. And basically what is said is he couldn't sleep. He couldn't take his nap during the day because he was so excited to try and win with 4D. And it made me think, Jeff, of – during the League Players Association tour this year, we interviewed Stamkos. And remember what Stamkos said about the Lightning last year? It was like, let's just get in. And then we'll take care of business. And they did. And, I think the regular season gets boring sometimes. But, like, last night, it was exactly why Victor Hedman is a great player and the Lightning win. It's because you're sitting here, it's Tampa Bay at L.A., it's not really a rivalry. It's not necessarily a game that you think, two teams are going to get, wired for. But Hedman is like, we got one 4D. I want to see if we can win with 4D. He's so excited for the challenge. And I was really struck by it. The way he played and his attitude post-game and how he talked about wanting to win, he kind of tried to hide it a little bit, but he had this huge smile on his face, and it was tough to deny that he was completely motivated by winning this game shorthanded. I thought it was amazing. I'm probably not even doing it justice, but I thought it was, to me, it was exactly why that guy is the best defenseman in the league and why Tampa Bay wins. And so John Cooper came on, and I think it was Ken Campbell who asked him the question. He says, look, I'm looking at my Norris ballot and I've got Cale Makar on it. And John Cooper goes, look, like he just says, Victor Hedman should be on the ballot every year. And I might have even said Victor Hedman should be the guy every year. I can't remember exactly right now, but I got to tell you, when I'm voting at the end of the year, I'm going to be thinking about this game a lot. And when I think about why Tampa's won twice in a row, and it's not just one player, but I think about last, I'll be thinking about that. Because here's one of the best players in the league, and he says, okay, you're going to tie one hand behind my back. Doesn't freaking matter. We're winning this game. And he went out and he did it.
And you know what one person told me recently about Victor Hedman? One of the things that's going to keep this guy in the game perhaps longer than maybe even he thought is the fact that the NHLers aren't going to the Olympics this year. Like, he's got 3 more years left on term on his deal, $7.8 million. This guy's made, like, his reputation is solid. The numbers are outstanding. He's made a lot of money. Victor Hedman, you could argue, has all the reason at the end of this contract when he's 34 years old to pack it in and call it a career. He still wants Olympics. This guy's never played. We all remember he was a controversial cut once upon a time. They didn't go to Pyeongchang. They're not going to Beijing. He's one of those players that we looked at and said, oh, man, you don't want to go down as, you know, one of the best players to never get the Olympic experience. This guy's hanging in the NHL because he wants that. He wants that in the next Olympic cycle is what I was told.
I believe it. Because you know what, Jeff? If you're wired to compete at that level, it's like he's a friendly guy. You know, he comes across very well, but he's a killer. Like last night to me, it reminded me the guy's a killer. You know, you give him a challenge that he wants to answer and he ran through the wall. And if you're going to tell me that, you know, he's going to compete to get another shot at the Olympics, like who am I to doubt him?
The other Florida team, and by the way, Bill Zito comes on here at the bottom of the hour. I'll talk to Bill, the general manager of the Florida Panthers. In your 32 thoughts, one of the notes you put in there is there's a belief that that they're in the Jacob Chychrun sweepstakes. Like there's a number of teams that are in on Chychrun. We've talked a lot about Anaheim and LA and St. Louis and Boston and the Islanders, Calgary.
And now we maybe think Rangers, maybe Columbus.
I think Columbus is in there, and I'm pretty confident the Florida Panthers are as well.
I agree.
This is all
that's what they need too. Yeah, you know, they got beat last night, and that's going to happen. You know, the one thing Florida's, you know, the thing is, like, so, you know, I wrote about Florida again today, and they're lighting people up. They lost last night. They won their last five games by a combined 25-8, or last four games by a combined 25-8. They've also, like, last night was the first night that they were down 2 goals in 10 games. Like, they've been just steamrolling people. And, you know, I think the people that doubt them, like, the yeah, but, the what-ifers, they're looking at them, oh, they've played 24 games at home and I think 15 on the road. Like, let's see how they are with the rest of their schedule. But I still think that team's really good. I do think they're in big on defense. And I think they just feel if they had one more D who could play in their top four, I think they'd feel really, really good about themselves. And this has to be a go-for-it year for them. You know, Jeff, if you were in charge, would you go for it? I would.
Go for it. We talked about this the other day. I mean, they're getting the key is they're getting the goaltending. Like, this is vintage. This is Bobrovsky when he had Ian Clark in Columbus. Like, this is vintage Bobrovsky. And Huberto is having an all-time season. Barkov is always Barkov. And listen, Sam Bennett's got 16 goals, scored another nice one yesterday. Duclair is having a great season. Like, right down the lineup, all the way down to the fourth line. It's a team that comes at you in waves. The blue line is outstanding. Does it need one more big piece? Yeah, probably. And if they can land Jacob Chychrun, then you can move Mackenzie Weegar down to a second pairing role, move Forsling down, and all of a sudden, oh boy, that's a tough team to beat. Now, if you look at what Columbus, if you look at what Arizona wants. And we've talked about the Brent Burns deal, the prospect, the player, and the first-round pick. So you're probably looking at Spencer Knight, Anton Lundell, first-round pick. It sounds like a lot, and it is. But that's going to be the price for Chychrun. It's going to be these types of deals.
Look, you're getting a defenseman, a good player, who was, you know, on the long list for Team Canada, and at for three more years is a very good number. That's the kind of thing it's going to cost you, Jeff. To me, that's a big price to pay. But you know, but you are looking at that and saying, you know, that's the kind of price we should expect to pay if we're going to be in this, especially with the amount of teams we think are there. So. I'll tell you this, if that was on the table and I was Arizona, I might be saying, don't hang up the phone.
I'll just say, like, I'm applying this to like every team now. Okay. So if I'm Arizona, if you follow the criteria of what the San Jose Minnesota deal for Brent Burns, okay. You know, who represents Setoguchi, who represents Coyle, and then the first round pick is the first round pick. Like, I'm just trying to place all this together. I don't know. It's or maybe they just hand them 4 first-round picks and say we'll take. I don't know. But it's going to be it's going to be an expensive deal, no doubt. Yep. But Florida's right there. Okay. Now that Montreal has been dealt with, you write about the Vancouver Canucks again, and you know we're wondering at what point Vancouver pulls the trigger, and is it Patrick Galvin? You've talked about Scott Mellenby a bunch as well, Sean Burke's name in consideration as well. Is there anything that can get the tongues wagging for people listening in Vancouver right now?
You know, well, first of all, I don't think the process is done yet. So, you know, I thought this week it would be 1 Montreal, 2 Vancouver. And, Montreal obviously was first. Vancouver, I think they're getting closer. I've just heard that not all the interviews are done. So I think there's the second round of interviews that still has to happen here. So, you know, I don't think they're closing yet. You know, like I said, I'm getting mixed messages on Alvin. Sometimes at this point, it's difficult to tell if that's real or that's disinformation, you know, fake news being thrown at you to throw you off the scent. But I am curious about, you know, Ryan Johnson here in terms of, like, every time I ask questions about this, I get told, like, don't forget Johnson, and what's his role going to be. So I am really curious to see, you know, what that could mean for this process. And I'll tell you this, I know that there were people who were holdovers in the previous administration that are still there, who, like, I was on with the morning show out there once, Halford and Brough. I think it was the day they hired Boudreaux that, you know, and I talked about Ryan Johnson. I thought that, you know, he was a really smart guy, and I think they should try to keep him. And someone from the Canucks called me and said, I think you're safe to say that he's going to be safe here for a while. So I really do think that I'm really curious to see where he's going to end up in all of this.
I think we're all curious to see what happens with the Edmonton Oilers now. I want to ask you about Leon in a couple of seconds here, but coming out of the scouting meetings, it sounds very much like the message and the mantra is, okay, it's time to go get a goaltender. And whether it's, you know, you swing for a Varlamov, you look at a Vanecek in Washington, Korpisalo in Columbus, it seems as if right now it's periscopes up to try to find a goaltender for the Oilers.
You know, what's that meme on the internet where the one guy pulls out his sword to face an entire advancing army? That's what Ken Holland's like right now.
That is an Anthony Stewart special, by the way.
Yes, that's where I see it all the time.
He used to put that out whenever he would say something negative about William Nylander on Twitter. That's the meme. That's the gif he would put out.
The one I'm going to start using is, like, whenever you put out a tweet, and then there's the one that says, okay, let's go to Twitter and see what all the experts think. I love that.
That's
one.
Right.
That always makes me laugh. Anyway, no, Ken Holland right now, he's like the guy with the sword against the oncoming army. And the reason is he's trying to be patient. He's trying not to do anything stupid. He's trying not to do a panic move that they regret down the road. But with every result, it becomes more and more impossible to hang on and stay the course. And, you know, we'll talk about the Dreisaitl Matheson thing in a second. But, you know, I think to me, the thing that you're really battling now is the torrent of negativity. And a lot of it's within because you're losing and you can feel the season slipping away. Look at McDavid on Saturday night. Look at Cassian on Saturday night talking about the same bleep again. Look at Dreisaitl yesterday. Like, that doesn't happen if the season's going better than that. And I think if you're the Oilers, you have to be looking at this and saying, our players and everybody in the organization too is boiling over. And you have to find the only way to stop that is by winning. But I think they're looking at this and they're saying, look, we don't want to do something silly for a goalie. You know, we don't want to do a panic move that hurts us. But I think you're looking at it like, and Jeff, how many times have I said this? Missing the playoffs is not an option. You just get to a point where you're like, we have to do it. And it's a dangerous place to be. But I think that's where the Oilers are right now. Now, I know the Canucks fans all want Halak shot out of a cannon before he hits his bonuses. But, you know, I think that, you know, from what I understand, Halak, he has control here and he's not that interested right now in waiving it. So I don't even know if that's a realistic option. You know, Korpisalo, I think, is a name that's been out there. He's not played very well this year. Like, does that really make you better? We talked about Jake Allen. He's hurt now. So, you know, I'm looking at some other guys like, you know, Jeff, like, you know, you look out there. I know Gorgiev's name is out there a lot, but to me, that doesn't make sense for the Rangers. You're a good team.
I don't think they want to do that. No, I think they want to hang on to both their goaltenders right now. I think the Rangers are in the market. They're looking probably for a forward right now. I just don't know that they want to touch that goaltending situation.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for them. So, like, you know, who are we looking at here, Jeff? Like, Holtby, you know, Fleury. For rentals, unless you're convincing Holtby to stay, I don't know. Or do you want to pay the? I guess you kind of have to on some level, but maybe younger you're looking at there. I do think this is now a priority for them.
So that's why I look to someone like Semyon Varlamov, who has one more year on term as well. You're pretty sure that, you know, Lamoriello would want the cap relief right now.
You know, that's a good
very
call.
Much, you know,
that's
so
a really
I wonder,
good call. I like that one.
I wonder about Varlamov. That to me is a big one. I do wonder about Vanecek. As well in Washington. Korpisalo, for sure. You wonder if that can just be a straight, we'll take Korpisalo, we'll give you Koskinen. Because we know, listen, there's no love lost there. Like, the Koskinen thing is, like, that's been a bad setup for a while.
Can I give you one more name I was looking at?
Sure.
And someone you mentioned the other day.
Who's that?
Oh, actually, sorry. You mentioned Hofer. I was wondering.
Joel Hofer,
like,
yeah, St. Louis.
Like, I was wondering about, like, a Husso.
Because
if Hofer's ready to play, you know, does that make Husso expendable?
Well, I would think that St. Louis is looking for a defenseman. If you're looking for, if you're going to do any deal with the St. Louis Blues, who's the defenseman you're giving them? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
Anyway, I'm going down the list, right? And I'm trying to figure
This always makes for great radio. Two guys sitting speculating on trades as we have long, lengthy pauses to see how it fits and what the cap situation is live on the air. A couple of more things in the blog that caught my eyeballs here. Chicago and staff turnover on the horizon. What do you hear? What do you know?
Well, I just heard that, you know, we've been debating about whether or not Kyle Davidson stays.
Yeah.
And I think there's a school of thought that potentially he could. But, you know, nobody really knows for sure. I've just heard that, you know, they're bracing, whatever happens, they're bracing for a change among, you know, the rest of his staff. So we'll see. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Let me. I should have dovetailed this with the goalie conversation, but let me get your thoughts on Leon Draisaitl and Jim Matheson. I looked at this one and said, "How has this not happened before? Considering how everybody is on edge there, like it seems like everybody in the city is on edge about this team. So it's not just the organization. You know, media's grumpy about it too. Like listen to the sports talk radio in Edmonton right now. People are just grouchy and grumpy about the whole thing. Fans are." Grumpy,
yep.
Grouch, like everybody.
And I understand
this has affected everybody who's even a casual sports fan in the city of Edmonton. Mm-hmm. But how did you see the Matheson-Draisaitl blow up yesterday?
Well, I mean, like there were some people who were sending me DMs saying, you know, we expect you to have more of a take on this. And, you know, my reaction to it is, like, you've heard me talk about these things before because they happen periodically. I refer to them as occupational hazards, right? Like, they just happen sometimes. And, you know, especially when you're losing. And, you know, one player actually said to me, he wonders if that happens if it's an American-based team simply because life is a lot less restricted down there. And, you know, I think it could be true. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting perspective. You know, I just think, look, like, you know, you said it earlier. Leon Draisaitl does not want to bury like the answer no. to the question is goalies, right?
Yes, he won't do
Draisaitl,
it.
He's not going to bury it. The goalies. He just isn't. And you know, I think that the problem is right now nobody can talk to each other. If someone has a lot of times in the past when someone's had a problem with me or I've had a problem with someone, you know, and from what I understand, Draisaitl and Matheson have a bit of a history. You know, you get, if you want, both sides get together and they hammer it out. Like, okay, what did I do? Or this is what I think you did. And, you know, and you work it out. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, at least you have a chance to talk to each other. And part of the problem right now is, first of all, they're losing. They're frustrated. They're pissed off. They're upset. And I really think that one escalated because people don't have a chance to talk to each other. You know, I don't think I would have reacted the same way as Jim did, to each their own. But I think if we're in a situation where people can talk, this one sorts itself out. And sometimes it happens. Mm-hmm. It just does. I've been on the receiving end of that before. My reaction is just like, whatever, and let's move on. And I know a lot of people think that was a big deal yesterday. I guess I'm in the minority. I've seen it happen before, and I just think two adults sometimes snap at each other. It's like a marriage, Jeff. Like, you know, sometimes your wife snaps at you, and she's totally right, and you just have to deal with it and move on.
I've told you, the only way to win those things, Elliot, make sure you cry first. That's the only way. Next time you and Steph get in one, just make sure you cry first, Elliot.
I keep a white flag in the office.
It's the best way. Just surrender quick and start crying. Okay, great stuff. 32 Thoughts blog available now on sportsnet.ca. Thanks, Freach.
All right, buddy. Take care.